So the notion I'm going to deal with is places and forms of power, and I'm going to illustrate it with the 2011 London riots. So from the 6th to the 10th August 2011, riots took place in inner cities of London. So on the one hand, the rioters had no slogans, no chanting and no demands, and nobody was speaking for the majority. Nevertheless, on the other hand, we find underlying reasons deeply anchored in the society that created a pent-up anger against the conservative government. So it would explain the upheaval. So therefore, we could ask ourselves if those outbursts were due to genuine social discontent or if it was only for the sake of looting. So I have three documents. The first one is a speech held by David Cameron, the British Conservative Prime Minister. The second one is an article of the Huffington Post, and it deals with the history of the London riots. And the last one is a drawing of John Defrest called London's Burning 2012 Olympic Games logo. So I'll put the emphasis on three aspects of the power during the riot. First, I will talk about the power of the government. Secondly, I will talk about the power of the street. Thirdly, I will talk about the power of the event of the Olympic Games to shape the opinion. So, first of all, the speech of David Cameron has been held 6 days after the beginning of the riot because he was in vacancy, and David Cameron can be seen as a place of power. So when he came back, he has to reassert this power. Therefore, in this speech, he present the vision he took to manage the crowd. So the government has several forms of power. The government gave more power to the police, like they have tougher tactics and they can use the appropriate level of repression. Then the justice has more power too. They can give harsher punishments, and they have exceptional sentencing powers. And because many looters are remanded in custody. Then in terms of identifications of the looters, they use technology such as the CCTV, or they can monitor the social networks, because in their opinion, supposing the rioters had not been able to use the social network, they wouldn't have had the opportunity to communicate, so to organize the riots. Then there is this aspect of abuse of power, because the riot squad used water cannons, or the government has a wider power of curfew. Then we can see this in the document which deals with the history, that there were many police-related deaths in history, because there is an abuse of power when the riot squad bludgeoned the rioters with truncheon, because some of those people are only a law-abiding citizen. So when people act to death, there is obviously an abuse of power. So there is also this aspect then of the weak management of the riots, because it always turned a peaceful demonstration into a full-blown civil disorder. So then we could talk about the absence of power that we can see in history, and also on my source document, the drawing of John Defrest, because this is a two-faced drawing. We see the Olympic Games flame, but it can also be seen as that London is burning. So because there is the main buildings of London, they are in an arson. So there is an absence of power because the parliament is a place of power and it is set ablaze. So this is where the decisions are made, and so the thugs set this power on fire. So secondly, I will talk about the government, who has faced the power of the street, because the street is a place of power. Because we can see in history that the young people grew up oppressed, so rioting is a release. And when they took part in looting and vandalism, they felt that the city belonged to them, and they enjoyed the feeling of being powerful. So yet it's more about opportunism, because had they not joined the riot, they would have felt powerless or weak. So thirdly, so the third aspect is the power of the Olympic Games to gather the population, thanks to the media, generally admitted as a new power. So during the Olympic Games, who is truly a place of power, the government had gathered the population around symbols of the Great Britain, such as the monarchy with Queen Elizabeth II, or around a cultural aspect, like there were James Bond or the Spice Girl, and many references to the history of Great Britain. And although the headlines of the newspaper had shaped the opinion of the population and of the people worldwide, because in 2011 there were like Flaming Morons, the anarchy spreads, or the Battle of London, and in 2012 there were Our Glorious Olympic, Britain at its best, or A Night of Wonder. Then there is obviously this obviously the government and the media has shaped the opinion of people around the sports, because it's a well-known fact that sports are a common language between people, and it overcomes the conflict. So through this soft power, they celebrate the unity of the nation. So to conclude and to answer the problematic, I think looting and violence are a backlash from social condition of the young people. So I don't condone the violence, but we must acknowledge the increasing hardships of the population. And if history is anything to go by, it seems that the government has always been determined to regain control regardless of the reason for the violence. So when you always do what you always done, you will always get what you always got. So we could have seen this subject of the London riots with the notion of idea of progress, because there is truly a progress to make. Like the government should listen to the grievances of the young people, and the government should also empower the young people.
Right, thank you for your presentation. I'd like to revert to your personal document here. You said that the government, or you imply that the government used the Olympics to make us forget about the riots, but you didn't say what the position of the cartoonist was. Is it ironic, or is it being very serious, actually?
In my opinion, he is ironic, because we can see the Olympic flame, but there is obviously the city, that the city is burning, and so the arson is very, very big, and it's all the buildings are burning. So I think the cartooner wanted to put the stress on this aspect that the population forgets about the riots, and that the government managed to make us forget.
Do you think they have succeeded in making us forget about the riots?
Yes, I think so, because there is also the jubilee and the royal marriage. So there is many symbols of the monarchy and on the population. I think the population wanted to forget the riots, because it's the dark side of their country, and they want it to be like brilliant, and they want a good image of their country all over the world. So they won't forget this aspect of their history.
Okay, so you put a lot of emphasis in your presentation on the historical dimension of these riots. How different were they from other riots that may have happened in the past?
So,
what was new about them, or what was similar about them?
There were always the same background, like poor social condition and a discontent with the police force. So it always began as a peaceful demonstration against the decision of the government, like against the poll tax of Margaret Thatcher, and then it turned into a full-blown civil disorder. But then there is a new aspect of the riots of 2011, and this is looting, because so the young people looted stores, and we never saw that before. So this is the new aspect.
Do you think that this reveals some characteristics, some sort of feature that is terribly ingrained in British society, or something that may just happen anywhere else?
I think it's due to the power of marketing, and because of the consumerism, because the young people, so they don't have, the majority doesn't have jobs, so supposing they could have afford the goods, they wouldn't have loot. So there is in a lot of societies that the richer can afford a lot of things, and it's like the people in inner cities, or the people who don't have a lot of money, can't afford all the goods presented by the TV and by the media. And so to loot was the only way to get what they saw on TV and what they wanted to buy, but they couldn't buy it.
Okay. Are you able to identify other causes, causes other than economical causes to these riots? Something of a more social nature, for instance.
Yes, I don't think that the social networks are one of the main characteristic of one of the main thing that bring the riots. There is also the social exclusion, because as we can see on the drawing, the parliament is burning, and the parliament is the place where the decisions are made, and so the decision should help the population to have like a better everyday life. So but the people in the inner cities, I think they feel ostracized compared to the people living in London, in the middle of London, and they feel ostracized because the parliament and the government don't listen to them. So there is this aspect of social exclusion.
Right. Okay. So you mean by that that there are economical aspects, political aspects, and also social aspects. The lack of education has been particularly singled out after the riots. Do you think it played some sort of role?
I think that the education has lost its priorities, because they should give a lot of opportunities for the young people to success. So it's a well-known fact that nowadays the young people don't go to school with pleasure. It's like they are compelled to go to school. So I think that going to school should be a chance to succeed. And now it's more like an obligation, and so like the lack of power in education, it may come from the teacher who lost maybe they don't want to come and help the young people, because the young people don't want to work and to succeed. So it's it comes from the both ways, like the government and the teacher should give a more important aspect to the school, and the young people should realize the chance that they have to go to school.
Another cause that was given was the importance of gangster rap. Do you believe that music, or the type of music that people listen to, could have had an influence on the way they acted during this summer of discontent?
In many rap song, there is a message of hate against the government, and so the young people identify themselves to the rapper because they are like a role model for them, because they came from the same the same background, and they start from scratch, and they reach the success. So they are a role model for them. So young people identify themselves, and they want to do the same thing as them. So they follow the message that is sometime it's like the hate or burn everything, or I don't know. And so there is this message behind the songs, but not all of the song. Sometimes it's a message like go on and follow your dreams to succeed, and like, so all the songs are not about hate, but I think a majority of them convey this this message. So the young people has identified themselves to some of the thugs.
Right, which brings me to the power of the media, which you very aptly mentioned in your presentation. How much do you think the media helped shape our vision, our perception of the riots? Do you think it was a distorted vision or distorted image that we got, or that it was an accurate account of the riots?
The media always want to present like those kind of event like some kind of the end of the world, or like it's very terrible. So they present it as a chaos. You see on the front page of the newspaper there were like thugs with the hooded thugs and with petrol bombs in their hands, and they were confronted to the police. They were very violent, and the image on the TV, you saw the mounted police against the thugs, and there is fire everywhere. So it's more a chaos aspect, and I think the media wanted to show this aspect, maybe to like the media are not all of them, of course, but they think also that all the people living in inner cities are thugs, and so that they are responsible of the of this chaos, and that's the main aspect they wanted to show in the newspaper or on the TV. So, but we have to go on the street and see by yourself that sometimes they are just law-abiding citizens walking from their place of work to their home, so they are not throwing anything to the police force. So you can see that it's not always a chaos, but also there is also order.
I'd like to turn to the exercise and the keeping of power by the government. Your position on the subject, I'm afraid, wasn't very clear at the beginning of your presentation. You said that the government was trying to use an appropriate level of force. That's what you said, the expression was appropriate level of force. Do you think it was appropriate? And do you think that it was indeed an abuse of power to some extent?
Well, the government gave, in their opinion, an appropriate level of force to the police, because supposing the police didn't have a lot of power, they couldn't have managed the crowd. So, but I think it was an inappropriate level of repression, because there were a lot of violence, and it's not how the problems will be solved. Like, it's not like when you hacked people to death, it doesn't solve a problem. It's a well-known fact, like when you kill people, it won't solve anything. So the solution would be to not to give more and more power to justice or police, but to give power to the to the speech of the young people, and they should have listened to the young people first.
Okay. And we are now just 1 year after these riots, right? Did your perception of the, well, do you remember actually when these riots, do you remember how they were reported in the news during the summer of 2011?
Actually, I didn't hear much about those riots. I only saw pictures on the TV, like the city where the city was burning, and so this is the only thing I saw, and but I didn't know much about the reason for the violence, so I don't have a lot of memories.